Thank you so much for joining us today. You're listening to Corrieton Cast, the official podcast of Corrieton Church. Man's problem is not mental, it's moral. This is the truth about sin. Do you know if your theology is dictating your morality, or is it the other way around? Today, Dr. Rocky Ramsey will explain the truth about sin, how Satan disguises himself, and what God does when we fail to be obedient.
I've recently had a conversation with my oldest grandson about birds and bees stuff. If you know 11-year-old Brady, he has an overabundance of words in his head. If he's not reading, he's talking. The topic, though, pretty much rendered him about as quiet as the proverbial mouse. As you might imagine, I ended up doing most of the talking. When we're talking about such things, the specific topic is birds and the bees stuff, but the general topic is God's way versus sin. God's way versus sin. So a lot of what I said were general things about God wanting the best for us and how his ways are best for us. Obeying benefits us, disobeying costs us. Doing the right thing costs you on the front end, but it pays you back on the back end. Doing the wrong thing almost always pays you on the front end, but it costs you on the back end. The right thing is almost always the harder thing to do, but the benefit comes later. The wrong thing is almost always the easy thing to do, but the price comes later. It costs you. Those are some of the things that are true about sin. I've been thinking about this stuff a lot lately, especially this first chapter of Romans. So today I want to talk to you about the truth about sin. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. A lot of what I'll say will come out of verses 18 to 32. Romans 1, 18 to 32. I hope you have an outline in your outline. The first thing I want you to see is that man's problem is not mental, it's moral. It's not mental, it's moral. Look at Romans 1:18. It says there that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Notice why these men suppress the truth. It's unrighteousness. Man's problem is not mental, it's moral. His problem is not that he doesn't know or cannot know the truth. His problem is that he doesn't want to know the truth because he doesn't want to do what God might want him to do. There in your outline, this is how Jesus put it in John 3:19. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. The Bible teaches that Adam and Eve sinned. They were made in the image and likeness of God. But once they sinned, they gave birth to children who were born in Adam's image and Adam's likeness, not God's. They were now broken by sin. Once they sinned, they were unlike God. We're all born into this world now unlike God. Paul explains this in Romans chapter 5. The whole chapter, most of it's about this, but I've just picked two verses out of it. 5 verses 12 to and 18. Through one man, sin entered the world, Adam. He was the one responsible, not Eve. And death through sin. So death spread to all men because all sinned. Verse 18. Through one transgression, there resulted condemnation to all. We're all born spiritually broken. We all are broken just in different places to different degrees. Everybody struggles just with different stuff. We have a sin nature. We tend to sin. Given the right thing and the wrong thing, we tend to do the wrong thing. How many of you all had to spend years teaching your children how to tell lies? Can I see those hands? Probably none of you, did you? How many had to teach them how to sneak? Probably none of you. You know why? Because they have sin natures. All children have sin natures except for my grandchildren. Not true. So we all have this sin that we're born broken. From the get-go, there's something not right in us. We're going to tend to go the wrong way because of our sin nature. In 1 John 1:8, it says it this way. If we say that we have no sin, speaking of our sin nature, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. So because of our fallen nature, we tend to sin and we want to sin. Wrong behaviors are attractive to us. You know, and then the more forbidden it is, the more attracted we are to it. We talked last week, I'll reference it again, this message. We talked last Sunday from 9 to 10, we talked about pornography in here. And a part of what happens in sin, see, sin never satisfies you. Sin just creates a greater appetite for more. And then the law of diminishing return sets in, and the sin you're doing doesn't quite do it for you like it used to. And so now you need a bigger one. And so if you're in porn, you go to some deeper porn, some more filthy porn. And you got to keep getting a bigger hit because the last hit's not doing it for you anymore. That's what happens with sin. And the truth is, because of our nature, the more forbidden it is, the more we tend to want to do it. You know, you might try this at home with you. If you have a messy child, say, if you clean that room up, I'm going to wear you out. They might clean the room up. Because you told them not to do it. That's just the way we are. Our problem is not mental. I don't know enough. Our problem is moral. I don't want to do what somebody else tells me to do. I want to do what I want to do. Number two, either our theology dictates our morality or our morality dictates our theology. Look at Romans 1:21. It says there that even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but instead they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. They began to think differently and their souls grew dark. They know better, but they don't want to do better. So their thinking becomes futile, their heart's dark. In other words, they become incapable of thinking correctly. Every time we choose darkness over light, we get more darkness. We get more darkness. So either our theology, what we believe about God, dictates our morality, how we behave, or our morality, how we behave, will determine and dictate our theology, what we believe about God. I will either conform my conduct to how God wants me to live, or I will recreate God in my own mind to either one, not exist, or two, approve of how I'm living. It'll be okay. Every behavior problem begins with a belief problem. I behave wrong because I believe wrong. Look at Proverbs 21, verse 2. Every man's way is right in his own eyes. If I think there's no God, then there's no moral standard, no right, no wrong. Or I just convince myself that however I choose to live, God is okay with it. Not too many months ago, I ran into somebody at a funeral home that used to come here years ago, and I said, well, where are you going to church? He said, well, I'm just staying home and just watching services on the internet, and I'm okay with it. And my first thought was, is God okay with it? If you know your Bible, the answer is no. I mean, he is if you don't have any other option. But if you know your Bible, no. Hebrews 10:25 and 1 John 2:19 tell us God's not okay with that. But see, when I depart from God and his word, I become my own God and I make up my own rules for my own life. Some who do this call themselves atheists. Some who do this call themselves Christians. Now, I have two things under this in your outline. Number one, our sin natures cause us to fall short. They cause us to fall short. Even when we're trying to do the right thing, sometimes we don't pull it off. Even when we're trying to have a good attitude, sometimes we don't. Even though I'm trying to be loving, sometimes I might not be. As Romans 5:12 says, sin entered, death spread, all sinned. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Greek here makes it very clear that not only have we all sinned, we still do. It's a perfect present verb. Not only do we fall short of the glory of God, being like he is, which is how we're supposed to be, we continue to fall short of the glory of God. So in other words, by this definition, sinners are not just people who don't go to church and don't care about God. Sinners are people like me and you. Because we still fall short. The Bible says, I'm to love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I love my wife of 41 years really, really well, but I'm about positive. I've never quite pulled that one off. Do I love her as much as he does? I think I'd be pretty arrogant to say I did. I probably don't. I want to, but I fall short because of my sin nature. In Romans 3:10, it says, there's none righteous, not even one. Because of our sin natures, we fall short. The people who think they're righteous think that way because of who they compare themselves to. All of us can find people beneath us and compare ourselves with them and think we're pretty good. But the truth is, if we found the right people and compared ourselves to them, we wouldn't be that good at all. Because there are people way ahead of us, not just behind us. Now, here's the second thing. Our sin natures cause us to choose to sin. Not only do we tend to sin and sometimes fall short when we're not necessarily trying to, we choose to sin. Look at 1 John 1:10. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Ecclesiastes 7:20. There's not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and who never sins. This past Wednesday night, one of my points was, if the horse you ride is high, dismount. None of us need to be on any kind of spiritual high horse because we still fall short of being like him. None of us are perfectly righteous. Our sin natures cause us to fall short, to choose to sin. When we sin, we either repent of that sin or we come up with some way of thinking about God that makes it okay for us not to repent of that sin. You get that? When we sin, we either repent of it or we reshape God into our own image so that whatever we did isn't wrong. It's okay to do. Either your theology dictates your morality or your morality dictates your theology. Now, here's the third thing. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14 tells us this. In other words, the bad guy pretends to be the good guy. Look at these verses. In John 8:44, Jesus said, the devil is a liar and he's the father of lies. The Bible tells us that God is the truth and that it's actually impossible for him to lie. The only thing God can't do is act contrary to who he is. And since God's truth, he cannot lie. We behave the way we do because we believe the way we believe. All of our choices come out of some belief. And when we choose to sin, to transgress, do something we know is wrong, we do so because we believe something. I know I was told at church or the Bible or my mama or my daddy not to do that, but I believe that my life will be better if I do. I behave wrong because I believed wrong. It's exactly what Adam and Eve did. They wrongly believed, and so they chose to misbehave. The devil will lie to you. He will convince you that sin is better than righteousness. And every time you knowingly sin, that's what he's done. You believed him. You said, you know what? Maybe God doesn't know what he's talking about when he said, don't eat that fruit. Maybe if I ate that fruit, my life would actually even be better. Maybe God doesn't love me. Maybe he's not that good. And maybe if I do what he says is wrong, my life will be better. Every time, that's how this works. And the devil's a liar, and he deceives us. Look at what Jesus said in John 10:10. There he's speaking to the devil. He says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan claims to be a giver, but he's a taker. He will tell you that God is the taker and he's the giver. If you live God's way, you won't be happy. He won't let you have any fun. You need to do it my way. I'll make you happy. I'll give you fun. He's a thief. He steals. He claims to give you life, a better life. But instead, he kills and destroys. He appears to offer you freedom. Drink this, pop this, snort this, smoke this. And instead, he leads you into bondage. He offers you pleasure, and then he oppresses you with shame afterwards. He offers you a better life, but he never delivers it. Never. So the Bible tells us in Proverbs 14:12 that there's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Why does it seem right? Because he's believed the lie. He's believed that God's way is not the best way, that another way is better than God's way. He's believed that God is the taker. He's not the giver. Adam and Eve spiritually died the day they disobeyed. They were now broken sinners who now hid from each other. If you remember, they turned on each other and they were afraid of God. They hid from him. Ephesians 2:1 tells us that before we came to Christ, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Adam and Eve believed the devil's lies. They thought they would win. They lost. Eden was closed. Creation was cursed. Men would now all be born broken by sin. What seemed like the right thing to do resulted in death. Number four, when we fail to obey God, he gives us over to our own ways. Say, what will happen if I disobey God? He'll convict you. You'll feel bad about it. But if you decide to keep doing it, God is such a good God, he'll say, it's what you want to do, go for it. You may be here today and you're not a Christian. Can I tell you something? God will never force himself on you. He's not that kind of God. His son died for you. He loves you. He wants you to have the best life here and a better life forever. But you know what? If you don't want him, you can walk out of here. You can say no. He'll never force you to do it. Think about this. You know, everything costs you something. If you don't get married, it'll cost you. If you get married, it'll cost you. If you don't have children, it'll cost you, especially at times like Christmas. If you do have children, it'll cost you. You ever had kids? If you don't go to college, it'll cost you. If you do go to college, it'll cost you. You work real hard to have a great career, it'll cost you. But if you just lazy around and don't work real hard, it'll cost you. Everything costs you something. It'll cost you to be a Christian. Don't let anybody tell you it doesn't. But can I tell you something? Boy, will it cost you if you don't become a Christian. But here's what God said. Yeah, everything costs you something. Never worry about the price tag. Look at the value. Look at the value. What's it going to cost? Is it worth the cost? And God, if you want to walk away from him, you can pay the price. He loves you enough not to force you. So what he does when we sin, say, well, I'm getting away with it. No, you're not. You're being given over to it. You'll see that in these four points. So in Romans chapter 1, verses 24 to 32, it tells us four ways that God gives people over. First, God gives us over to displaced worship. Displaced worship. Look in your Bible at Romans 1, 23. Let's start in 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures. So rather than worshiping the Creator, they began to worship things created. People, places, things. Rather than worshiping God, people now worship these people, places, and things. Ancients worshiped animals. We don't do that much in our day. People who don't live for what's really important live for lesser things and then try to convince themselves that those things are really important. If you want a great example of this, attend a football game at Neyland Stadium. Now the preacher's done quit preaching and gone to meddling. Here he goes. I wonder how many people who go to those games, when UT loses a game it should have won, feel as badly about the fact that they're not who God wants them to be as they are that the Vols lost. That's a great question. I mean, one of them really doesn't matter unless you're on the team or you're the university, but the other has eternal consequences. We give ourselves to something. We go crazy over something, some obsession. Why? Because it's the worship in us that's broken. Everybody gives themselves to something. It might be money. It might be a person. It might be a cause. It might be something else. When we don't worship God, we worship something else. Our worshiper is broken by sin. Broken man convinces himself he can find what the Bible calls life in something or someone else besides God. There's nothing new under the sun. In the Old Testament, it's described this way. Look at Jeremiah 2, verse 13. Jeremiah 2:13. My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now, in case you're wondering, a cistern is not the opposite of the brethren, okay? If you've ever been overseas, you'll see houses with tanks on the top. They're cisterns. They're holding water. Other places, they would dig out ponds or concrete ponds. They're holding water. They're cisterns. So God can drown us in living water. Instead, we look for that water elsewhere. We find thrills, pleasures, temporary happiness elsewhere. But all of those things, like broken cisterns, leak. Oh, if I could date this person, this is wonderful, but it leaks. If I could marry this person, this would be heaven, but it leaks. If we could have children, this would be the greatest, but it leaks. If we could make a lot of money, boy, wouldn't we be happy, but it leaks. If we could just drug ourselves out or drink ourselves out, we could just numb ourselves from it all, but it all leaks. The only thing that fills and stays is the God you were made for. There's something missing in you and me that only He can fill. When your life revolves around something else besides God, the God who made you, here's why. You knew better, but you didn't want to do better. Your thinking started stinking and your heart grew dark. Worshiping something or someone else doesn't prove that there's no God. It proves that God is giving you over. Did you catch that? It proves God's giving you over. You choose unrighteousness over truth, darkness over light. You convince yourself that you're pretty smart, but you weren't. Your morality dictates your theology. You didn't want to believe, and now you don't. You're pretty comfortable not believing. You know why? Because you've been given over to yourself and to what you chose. The atheist doesn't prove God that God doesn't exist. The atheist proved that God's given him over. It's in all of us to believe in God. There's never been a people group in the world found that didn't worship some kind of God. Why? Because we were made for God. Every atheist has been talked out of that. It was kind of like the kids were sitting at the, it's an atheist family, the children were sitting around the table, and one of the kids asked the dad, said, "Hey, Dad, do you think God knows we don't believe in him?" All children instinctively believe in God. You got to talk them out of it. And we actually have institutions designed for that purpose. They're called universities. So, been there, done that. So you didn't want to believe. Look at Romans 1:25. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Literally in the Greek, and if you have side notes, you'll tell you this, that there's a definite article there. Literally, they changed the truth of God for the lie. What is the lie? The lie is that Satan's way is better than God's way. And what happens? They worship and serve the creature rather than creator. So God gives us over to displaced worship. Second of all, He gives us over to dishonoring lusts. Look in your Bible at Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Therefore, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. Whenever you see the word therefore, ask yourself, what's it there for? What He's telling you is what I'm about to tell you is based on what I just told you. Because they rejected God, became foolish, worshiped the created things, because of that, now God gives them over to lust. We spent an hour last Sunday morning during our community group time talking to our adults about the horrific problem of pornography today. If you give yourself over to lust, then you've been given over by the Lord. When you choose to live in that lust and fulfill those lusts, you have been given over by the Lord. We're now using our body and the bodies of others in ways that God didn't intend. We're using people rather than loving people. As always with sin, we can think that we're winning, but boy, are we losing. Porn is one of the best examples of seeming to win while you lose. Be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure it'll cost you more than you hoped it would ever cost you. Look at these verses. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-8. This is the will of God. Stop. There's a whole lot of things we don't know what the will of God is. You know, there's no word from God that tells me I'm to marry this person or go to this school or buy that house or drive that car or whatever else. But here's one. We know exactly what God's will is. He's telling us. This one's for sure. This is the will of God, your sanctification. That is that you abstain from sexual immorality. Verse 7, for God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So, watch this, he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Wow, this is the truth. If you disagree with this, you're not disagreeing with any man, any church. You're disagreeing with God himself. God's moral laws apply to all the same. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. It doesn't matter if you're married, never married, been married 15 times. It's as wrong for a married or divorced adult to be sexually active as it is for a 12-year-old. All kinds of people in churches, a lot of singles ministry in churches have just become Christian bars. It's where they pick up women and hook up. And men tell women. I remember getting a lady showed me a letter one time this guy wrote her explaining how since we have already been divorced and married and divorced and we're not virgins, then none of those things apply to us anymore. Obviously, you know what he was trying to get. And so he's telling her a lie, hoping she'll buy it. Well, she didn't, thank goodness. This is one thing where God's will is crystal clear. If you don't buy it, it's rejecting God himself. Lust-driven actions are wrong. Lustful touching is wrong. Well, we didn't go all the way. Lustful touching is wrong. Lustful looking is wrong. Pornography. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 5:28. Everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart.
If you enjoyed today's message, we want to invite you to join us live this Sunday morning. We have a special production called Coryton Live. It's built just for you. So tune in live at coryton.online.church. Again, thank you so much for joining us today. You're listening to Coryton Cast, the official podcast of Coryton Church. If you have any questions at all, visit us online at CorytonChurch.com or drop us a message or comment on social media. We're at Coryton Church. We hope you've enjoyed this episode, and we pray God's richest blessings on your life. Give us a rating, hit subscribe, and have a fantastic day.